was in Columbus. Columbus, Ohio. It is the state capital, that's correct. Columbus is the capital of Ohio, and that's where I was over the weekend. I was visiting my sons, had a great time there. I told you, whenever I spend money, I don't like to spend money on things, I spend money on experiences and on people, because those things last. Did I tell you that, or did I write that somewhere? I don't know, but it's true, so believe it. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Invest in experiences because they will follow you into the next life. And the next life is going to be better than this one. Things don't follow you. Clothing doesn't follow you. Diplomas don't follow you. That's a thing. That's a thing. I've told you before, it's not the diploma that you got at Harvard that's going to follow you, but the experience you had going to Harvard, that's going to follow you. Your experiences, invest in experiences. Save your money for vacations, because there you will meet different people and you will influence people and they will influence you. And it will be a wonderful symphony of human interaction. And it could be that you will share a word of the evangel with someone, or someone will see the fruit of the Spirit in your life and will say, I want to know your God. That can't happen unless you go there. And so, if you have any extra money at all, invest in experiences, not in things. Don't buy a new car. That's not very smart. Don't buy a fancy house. That's not very smart. Not very smart at all. All right. So, I was in Columbus, and I'm telling you, we're going to go to the letter of Dave. I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians and show you passages of what we're going to be doing with angels in the coming eon. And, I watched the NFC and the AFC championship games with my sons yesterday, which was Sunday. So wait a minute. What is today? Oh, okay. Today for you is Tuesday. Yeah, for me, yesterday was Sunday, whatever. Little time warp there. But I never watch TV. Very rarely do I watch a television. So I'm really unaccustomed to the barrage of commercials. And so I'm like this virgin guy watching these commercials, and I'm being pummeled, and it's the noise of it. It's the insistence. It's the flash. Apparently, nobody has an attention span today, so the scene changes every 5 seconds, and people badly want to sell you soft drinks. They badly want to sell you automobiles. They badly want to sell you insurance. That gecko wants to sell you insurance. The duck desperately wants to sell you insurance. And polar bears want to sell you Coca-Cola. And it is an incredible barrage. People want you to go see movies where cars explode and people extort one another. And there are new television shows coming up where people kill each other in new and imaginative ways, and where creatures from other planets creep and crawl and ooze and bother you. And this stuff bothers me immensely. My spirit was affected by it. And I watched it. There was two games. The AFC Championship first with darn Denver won. I wasn't happy about that. And then I was happy that Seattle beat the 49ers. But anyway, the commercials were heinous. And I realize now that people are just, they're plugged into popular culture, and they're being seduced out of any time or peace or ability to reflect upon God. Today, the world has been so dumbed down. Its populace has been so, the attention span has been crumbled and broken, shattered, so that people can't form coherent thoughts. And I know that they can't write coherent sentences. And this is part of the end time deception and delusion to neutralize the conglomerate mind of our era and to make it so it's unable to discern information, not logical enough to process the information, and really too stupid to put one and two together and come up with three. And I was appalled by it. And yet our Lord prophesied concerning it. And this is one of those trans-administrational truths. I'm going to take you to Matthew 13 here. Side trail within the side trail within the side trail. Jesus telling a parable to his disciples. And this is a warning to us as well. And I'm going to show you how I apply this to the body of Christ. He says, concerning the sowing of seed. And this is the heralding. Yet he who is being sown on the rocky places is he who is hearing the word This is a parable concerning the kingdom. I'm going to apply it to us. The common denominator is hearing the word. And there are heralds, very few heralds, ministers of light in this eon who herald the word. And there's so many things to keep that word from taking root in your being, to hear it, to process it, to digest it, and to believe it. Now, he was hearing the word and straightway with joy is getting it. Many people, when those of us who teach tell them the word, they're instantly interested. They're excited about it. It touches some core deep within them, yet they have no root. There's a temporary joy, but there's no root. And at the coming of affliction or persecution because of the word, and if you believe the true word, then persecution will come. If you believe the candy word, the false word, the false teachings of Christianity, there will be no persecution with that. But whenever affliction or persecution comes, straight away, this person is snared. So they think something is wrong with the word I just got, because now that I believe this crazy thing Martin told me, or my sister told me, or my dad told me, I am suffering persecution. People think I'm in a cult, and so that persecution drives them away from life-giving truth. And they go to the road most traveled by. They're snared by the cross, and they're on the wide path to aeonian destruction. Now, he who is being sown in the thorns, this is he who is hearing the word, and the worry of this eon and the seduction of riches are stifling the word. The seduction of riches. And that's what I saw on American advertising, is the seduction of riches. Things you don't have that you need to have. One of the greatest definitions of advertising I've ever heard, it's a quote by a man named Stephen Laycock, and he said this: advertising is the art of arresting the intelligence long enough to get money from it. That's advertising. The art of arresting the intelligence long enough to get money from it. And it's the same art form that Satan used against Eve to seduce her into partaking of the fruit that God forbid. Now, finding one very precious pearl, Jesus goes on. But the point is that the world is full of seductions. And I was really knocked between the eyes by it. And I realize, you know, most of the world looks at that and it means nothing to them. Just another commercials come on. And they're really being neutralized mentally. And they're being put in a state of hypnosis, temporary hypnosis. They put people in a trance. That's what advertising does. It arrests the intelligence. And this is part of a master scheme that we're going to talk about in the book of Revelation to dumb down society. Starting with Western culture, and then Western culture exports the dumbing into the rest of the world, and the rest of the world thinks they're becoming sophisticated. Actually, they're becoming dumb, and now they're unable to discern truth from error because they've been neutralized. They've been neutered mentally and spiritually, and it's despicable, it's hateful, and I'm just shocked. I'm shocked by it, but I'm going to expose it and teach you concerning it. Now, the last we were here yesterday, Monday, we were reading a letter from our Western brother named Dave, and he gave us this magnificent truth that he is wanting, desiring to bring disobedient, errant, celestial creatures back to Christ, to teach them the conciliation, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. Greek word cosmos, the system of things. And I believe that includes the heavens and the earth. The world, cosmos, system is not just the earth, but it's the heavens and the earth. Everything belonging to the eon in which we're speaking. Worlds and eons correspond. I think I taught you that truth back when we were talking about the eons. The physical constitution is the world. The time constitution are the eons. But anyway, let's finish this letter from Dave. He thinks he's crazy. Let me tell you, he's not. He thinks he's crazy thinking these thoughts, but he is not crazy. In fact, he's plugged into the divine mind. And from what I saw on television, if you're plugged into the divine mind, you are so out of step with contemporary culture. And people can't think anymore. And if you can, you are so out of step and you're going to be considered the nutcase, yet you're the sanest person in the room. And let's review what Dave said yesterday. He said this: I have never really doubted my place in God's heart, except for a time when you and Clyde Pilkington were placed in my path. Oh yeah, we did that. Oh yeah, here it is. You may think this is silly. I don't, Dave. Here it is. I believe he has given me a glimpse of what I will be doing in the next eon, and it has to do with bringing back into fellowship angels who have hidden themselves as far away as possible, thinking they have totally blown it because of their part in the heavenly rebellion. I'm going to be able to share the grace Father showered on me and tell them something along the line of, quote, do you know how much Father loves you and what he did through Jesus to bring you back into his kingdom? Do you know how much he loves you? He sent me here to you, 13 billion light years from heaven. I have come from Earth. This is what Dave will be saying. I have been recently redeemed from the planet Earth, resurrected from the dead, from a former realm where I tasted mortality. I tasted evil. I tasted death. And now I've been made immortal, and I've been sent here from the great moral distances and physical distances to tell you to come home. The cross has made peace with you. End quote. Love that. That is such a great truth. Now, here's the new part of the letter I did not read to you yesterday. He says, Dave says, I may be goony as a dingbat, but I look forward to the next eon. You know why you feel that way? Because you're so out of step with the rest of the world. But it's they who are goony as dingbats, not you. In this one, I still struggle. That is in this eon. In this eon, we will struggle. It's in this eon that we're being disciplined and being trained. But I know that he is watching over me and giving me progressive knowledge. Yes, while the earth and the inhabitants thereof remain stagnant, Dave, you and me and those listening to my voice, those called into the body of Christ, we are progressing in knowledge. Dave says, I do not see myself as someone special, and I certainly have not written books or gone on the circuit telling my story. Haven't made a dime off it, as it was a humbling experience to stand before love and feel like I was exceptional. You are exceptional. I love that. Admit it. Embrace it. Admit it. Confess it. Embrace it. You're special. God has chosen you. You're not crazy. I just plain feel loved, and he has guided me in the path of sharing that love with many different types of people, including Taoist, Buddhist, atheist, gay, straight, people I would never have gone around if I still believed the doctrine of the church, people you wouldn't even associate with. Dave apparently here said when he was in the church, he did not even associate with the people he now desires to bring this evangel to, and that's what the truth will do to you. He says, if I still believed in the doctrine of the church, I wouldn't have gone to these people. I went through cancer and ended up in a holistic community to deal with it after standard medical procedures didn't work. I am but a small part of his plan. No, you're not. You're not, Dave. You're not a part of his small. You are a huge part of his plan. So you are being trained to fit into. You are a missing piece in the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the man, is the head of a body. He's incomplete without you, Dave. That's not small. That's monumental. That's what you're coming into. Quote, and I feel so thankful that I understand my role in this, at least what he wants for me now. Still got a lot of crap to deal with in myself, but it is so much easier when you begin to understand just how much he loves me. I know you probably get a lot of emails and are busy, but I felt the need to share this. Your teaching has made a real difference in my growth. I've purchased all of your books and The First Idiot in Heaven. Read that a number of times and passed it out. You are not alone in this journey. There are others that are learning and making themselves available to Father for the propagation of these truths. I look forward to hearing your broadcasts. I do consider you a good friend. Signed, Dave, a.k.a. your Western brother. Dave, thank you for that letter. Thank you for sharing it, because now I've shared it with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're finding comfort, and they're finding a friend. They're finding that there's another person out there who's plugged into the same mind of Christ, and we're all digging into these deep truths together. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to back up Dave's, quote, crazy idea, unquote, that we are going to be ministering to the Celestials and bringing them back into the fold of the Father's bosom.